This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories of local legends in the Australian running community that you've simply always wanted to hear. In this new spin-off series, Road to Noosa, Paul Goulet, Brooke Williams, and myself, Ollie Jones, join the podcast to discuss our training leading into the Noosa Runaway Marathon Festival in May. With Brooke and I in the half and Paul in the marathon, we discuss all things training weeks, nutrition, footwear, mental strategies, and everyday life surrounding our running leading up to the event. We hope you enjoy this spin-off series from the regular Local Legends in Running podcast interviews. Awesome. The finale of Road to Noosa series in the Local Legends in Running podcast. And very much a recap after the weekend of running at the Noosa Runaway Marathon Festival. About to say half marathon festival, but I'm the only one here that did the half marathon. There's two marathoners here, the usual suspects, the usual guests, but it is, for a bit of context, as we always do, the 27th of May, Monday after the weekend, 7:06 p.m. on the clock. And before we even get to there, almost 3 months ago, us three had hardly known each other. And now we sit here and actually formally in person, Paul and I met Brooke on the weekend, which was pretty cool to see you in the flesh. And it felt like we sort of known each other for years until that point, but yeah, only a few months. And for any first-time listeners or anyone who's tuned in late, sometimes it seems like on these shows and podcasts that the actual co-host or anyone speaking is connected very, very closely. We are in running, but not so much location and in the amount we've actually seen Brooke. That's once now. But firstly, welcome to Noosa's second fastest. That's Noosa's female marathoner and debutante to the marathon, Brooke Williams, 2:56.
Thanks. Yeah.
On the official clock, I think your watch had a quicker time.
Yes, it did. Very, very controversial.
We'll get to
but
that.
Yes, I'm a marathoner now. Very proud.
Yeah. How good. Amazing feeling, I'm sure. Haven't been there myself, but I can imagine running two half marathons. It'd be pretty, a content feeling, particularly on your first one. And as always, and for the final time for the Road to Noosa series, Paul Goulet, Noosa's sixth fastest male marathoner in, I think, one of his best times, potentially second best, 2:41. Is that right, Paul?
2:41 is sub best time, so yeah. I've managed to sneak under 2:40 twice. It was a great race. I absolutely loved it. I was a little bit disappointed not to sneak under the 2:40 this time. I did feel that it was on the cards for much, probably up until about 8Ks to go, I think. I thought I maybe still had a chance, but yeah, quickly realised that my watch was out with the markings and there was no chance within the last few Ks. So, but no, still very happy with it, yeah.
And that was a fantastic run. We'll get obviously into that in detail. What was that, Brooke?
He did well. Oh, looked strong. But yeah, that last 8K, that was hell.
That's what they talk about. And before we get to our recaps, we'll probably start with Brooke, considering she was the best placed out of any of us, and it was her first. And she generally has taken the honours to be first in the series. But before we get there, let's talk about the event itself, hey? And predominantly, I think we're all pretty happy with how we thought of the event itself. You know, and in terms of numbers, it actually tripled from last year in the half marathon, that is. Oh, 1,000, just over 1,000 last year, 3,300 this year. So tripled in the half marathon, which is crazy. The marathon went up by 500, 700 to 1,200. So you guys were a part of that increase. So pretty cool to see. The as always, the vibe and atmosphere was fantastic. Those numbers helped with that. And the finish area was chaotic. I was pushing my, at the end after my race, my three-year-old around in a pram as he was in and out of that. And my wife had my four-month-old in a brace too. Getting through a crowd with kids, I'm not sure if you guys agree, but it's tough work, especially after a race. But I thought that was great. One thing I'm still thinking that they need to work on is the amount of people to the course. The roads are narrow and you've got to turn around, three times? So it's an out and back twice for the half and four times for the marathon, which does bode a few issues, Brooke, which we spoke about before you were there for the first time in the marathon. But how did you guys find that, both the pros, predominantly the pros, but anything that you can think they can consider moving forward?
Do you want to go first, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fast course. There's no doubt about that. Some very quick times there across all distances. It's a great course for atmosphere. There's never really any section of the course where there's no runners or no crowd. So from those aspects, yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. Coming back around from the start line again, it's easy to pick up like nutrition. You see your friends and family, like you get that little pickup. So I don't think you can't really say anything against the course in that manner. There's not really any course like it, I don't think I've done, where you get that amount of support for such a long event. So yeah, definitely. That's the big pros for it from me anyway.
Yes. Do you want me to say my pros now?
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
And then we'll do cons. yeah, I agree. I think the atmosphere was 10 out of 10. Yeah. I think that was probably the best part, because you do sort of get that kick when you go back through. It's sort of got the Noosa Bolt vibes, because you're coming through and you just get that real buzz from everyone cheering. And I almost forgot. I actually forgot my drinks the second round and I nearly went 10K without a gel, because I was so distracted by the crowd, because it was right there. So I actually had to backtrack for that K. I think I was saying to someone else, like it's flat, but it's not boring flat. Like, you know how some courses you do, it's like a rail trail, it's like out and back. Mm. And it's amazing because it's flat and you can really get moving. But sometimes it's just so, just when you can see too much ahead, I feel like that's a little bit, daunting in a way, or you just like a bit, I don't know, you get a bit anxious, I guess. But I think because it turns so much, it's flat, but it's not boring. So you still can find momentum. Do you agree?
I would agree with that, because I was actually, each time I was doing the loop, I couldn't actually picture exactly where I was going. It was, I still was waiting. I was like, oh, we turn here. I was like, oh no, we've still got that turn. So it was, it wasn't like, it's just going to be like a straight 5K out, then you're going to turn around and come 5K back. It was always just trying to, like, oh, what's around the corner now? Oh yeah, we've got that turn, then we've got that turn. So
it sort of kept you on your toes.
Something to think about when it was up ahead. Not boring in the slightest.
That's definitely a good part. And there were actually parts that I reckon you could get going. Like, once you went round, you know how you got the front? I don't know what that road's called, but when you're sort of, you know how they have those little inlets? Inlets on the way back, you can really get humming along those roads. So there were parts that were super fast. So there was definitely a good momentum about it all. But definitely the atmosphere. Like, people, I've never seen a race just with so many people just like yelling out to me. Like, everybody was just like, go girl. And I was just like, hey. So that was really, really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, yeah, it's I love the course. It's great. But I just wonder how good it would be if you keep all the supporters, take a few runners off it. And if there's runners just, you know, in your race with your pace, how that would bode to get you. I feel like as a faster runner, and I was far from the front, I was 50 something, but as a faster runner, we're taking over those marathoners. They went off 15 minutes later. And, you know, it's nothing on them either because everyone's got a journey, a goal, a mission. And for a lot of them, it's just to plod along and do the marathon. But potentially some headphones out there. Maybe it's not the time for headphones in a fun run. I know that people train with them and it can provide some motivation, but maybe that's not the time. There was a few DJs out there, which I liked, but I think that can just bode.
Oh, yeah.
Bit of a safety hazard. I tripped over at one point. Someone had slammed into me, not completely on the ground, but I was sort of pushed over and had to get on with it. But I just wonder, could they spread out the event across 2 days? Could they extend the turnaround even? Because the turnaround then, you know, it's not a roundabout, was it? The turnaround just on part of the road?
It's just part of the road, yeah.
So could they do that and just do an out and back for the half? And do the marathon 4 times? Would that propose some logistical issues for the 5 or 10 potentially? I just wonder how we can get the congestion lower as this event will potentially continue to increase.
Yeah, I think it would be great if they had a section of the road only for marathoners, even if, because obviously theirs would be smaller, and then like a wider section of the road for the half marathoners. I don't know if I've ever seen that really happen, but I feel like that would keep people, you know what I mean? If they follow that rule, like if you're not allowed to go past a certain cone or something like on the same road.
Yeah. I think it was a rule, but like, do you mean more so as in like markers or cones the entire way? Wasn't there a bike lane? Wasn't there a bike lane in that left as they usually are in Australia, but on the left side of the road, wasn't there a bike lane that could be the marker?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't, read into the road rules, but I feel like if they had, sections that you had to stay in, that could help. But yeah, it is pretty, it did get really congested. I was really lucky because I had the bike and he would had a whistle. So he was whistling at everybody in front and then saying, get move, first female coming through. Like, I just wonder like how the girls behind me were going, if they were congested, whether it would have been a bit more competitive or their times, paces would have been affected by that. Cause that would be distracting like every couple of 100 meters.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously Paul's in a different boat. You're in the marathon, Paul, as we obviously have mentioned through this podcast, but how's your experience? Did you come back through the half marathoners who were a bit slower too? How'd that work for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the congestion issue, I think there's pros and cons to it. And I think we've sort of discussed a bit and said, like, because it's getting busier, do they make it a weekend event? Do they move the marathon to the Sunday, like some of the other big events, like Gold Coast, have done? The only thing with that is then maybe it becomes a bit more spread out. So it might potentially get a bit lonely out there if you're running on your own, you don't have runners to run past or anybody to run with. But certainly if my experience on Saturday was challenging on the second lap, particularly, I don't know if it was marathon runners and half marathon runners, I'm not sure, but I pretty much spent about 8, 9, like you're pretty much that second lap just screaming at people to stay left, like keep left. And there was times where I was just screaming at the top of my lungs and people have got big headphones on like I've got on just now and they just can't hear you.
I don't
want to take away from those guys. Like obviously everybody's there, everybody's doing their own thing. Like we're all there competing, wanting to do the best that we can. But if you're going to be one of those runners that's going to run with big headphones and stay at the left-hand side of the road. It's like, we all want to get the most out of it that we can. I feel that was a bit of a downside for me, like the congestion and trying to run past. And I feel like I shouldn't have had to do that. There was actually there was one part of the course actually on the second lap. There was a moped bike. So obviously there was people on push bikes that were like taking the lead for the lead marathon runners, and the half runners as well. But there was a moped and it was a course marshal. And when I looked up ahead, she was maybe 10 meters or so, maybe 15 meters in front of us. And I thought, oh, here we go. We were the pack that I was running in. We were a pack of four. And I think we were possibly, I don't know, like maybe the top 10 at that time anyway. And I thought, here we go. She's maybe going to clear a little bit of a path for us. But she didn't get any faster. We just about ran into this moped. And I just had no idea what she was doing. She was like, she was a course marshal. She had a marshal bib on. But she was just humming along at the side of the road. And I just thought, like, geez. So definite feedback there for like, the congestion on the course, but like I say, there's pros and cons to that at the same time.
Yeah.
By the time we got to the fourth lap, it was a little bit easier. There wasn't as many people to try and pass. And then the finishing shoot as well. I don't know how you find the finishing shoot, but because I was trying to stick to the right hand side to pass people, and then when you come at the finishing shoot, you've got to get back across to the left hand side. So I feel that wasn't ideal either. But,
yeah, and maybe pull them out of that, the start and finish out of that park, and commence the event on the road and extend the zone in which everybody starts. I just feel it's a bit of a bottleneck coming in there and starting.
Yeah, because I also feel it's like Sunny Coast, like the Sunny Coast Marathon and the half marathon start at the same time. So even for like you guys, Ollie, you would have like, it would have been a heap of runners in that would have been great for the marathon runners to run with.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have got a good little pack sort of going in that. Obviously, the Noosa course just doesn't allow for that because of how short it is in terms of the length of each lap. So, yeah, I honestly don't know. Like, they obviously would do their best to try and work out the logistics and how the event runs, and it seems to have flowed quite well, but it's definitely things that can be looked at for improvement.
At the start of the half, Ollie, did they make it really clear? Like, did they say over the announcement, stay left?
No, I heard nothing about it. I would have thought they'd stress that more in the marathon to stay left. But for anyone, I think, like a road, stay on the right if you're passing people. Otherwise, stay on the left, no matter the event.
Yeah.
I didn't actually look at, did anybody look at the event guide? Was there anything in there? I didn't actually see if there was anything there, but
on there, it wasn't clear.
It's generally that is, like, because even when you do park run, that's the etiquette. You're sort of told at the start, stay left.
Yeah.
True.
Like, no matter where you are, whether at the front or at the back, you stay left.
I've got an idea. Why don't they start putting like Strava segments right on the left? Just a heap.
Yeah.
You get to win.
Yeah, the thing is, a lot of newbies, literally their first ever half marathon or marathon, in the event. So learning all those little knacks that the runners have experienced, know about, and the majority of the runners are just trying to complete the race, aren't they? So it's hard, I guess, probably harder for us. You guys are both faster than I am, but we're on the quicker end, and it can be difficult sometimes to comprehend the fact that most of them are just
balance.
Just potting by, and a bit more of a party for them, like just getting it done. Yeah. Obviously, the music in the ears, the cheering. Near the water zones was a bit of an issue. There's runners scattered over the parts of the road near the water stations too. So that's a real hazard. It's like being on a ski field and you're traveling down the ski field on your skis, and there's a little kid that just goes horizontally across the ski field, you know, right in front of you all of a sudden, and you can't do much.
Yeah.
No.
But maybe it's just an issue this year that those numbers have really increased, and potentially that thought of separating the days, and obviously road closures are always an issue. But yeah, happy to hear some feedback from anyone involved in the organization of Noosa, through the Instagram or whatever moving forward. Not that I can have much of a say, but I guess three runners there and having our feedback there may be something they can think about. But you guys happy to talk through your own experiences?
It's going to be a work in progress. I think it's always going to be a work in progress from probably every event. I think, any feedback's always good feedback. But it is hard because it is, you know, you've got your competitive athletics where every race, you know, something like the Brisbane what's your club runs that you do? Like, they're set up for advanced runners to run fast.
Yeah.
And it's really hard because the best thing about road races is that environment and how the music, and it's amazing. Yeah. And it, you know, you get that real fun feeling from it, which is why they're so great. But it is finding that tough balance between keeping that fun and making it a mass participation event and a great event, but also making sure, yeah, that others get the performance.
I think that is it, because when you only have to look at parkrun obviously taking the stance where it's like running, it's not even a sport, it's a chance for everybody to have a bit of fun. But the ones that are getting left behind and the ones that are getting forgotten about is the ones that actually want to be competitive. It's like,
yeah,
you do absolutely have to look at these runs are, they're big fun runs. That's the majority of people that are turning up doing these runs now. They're newbies and it's absolutely fantastic and you take nothing away from them, but you still can't forget about those ones that want to be competitive. That's and that's what seems to be happening.
Yeah, agreed. How do we cater for everybody? That's a big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Speaking of catering for people, the course catered pretty well for Brooke on the weekend, but she wasn't always in the marathon, tossed and turned between all events pretty much. But I think I saw a post in the early hours of Saturday morning, and you'd made up your mind to run the marathon. You woke up. Not many people do this, wake up and decide they run a marathon on the day. I certainly wouldn't. I don't think Paul would either, but no. She did. And as we mentioned earlier, second in the field, first ever marathon in 2:56. I want to hear about this watch story too that we've spoken about off air, and I'm sure the listeners do too. It's a bit of a talking point too for newbies out there too, and how that works. But how was your experience from probably more so from the night before, I guess, and the day of, because we've heard of, I guess, all of our stories leading into the event?
Yeah. So a week out, I was at Great Ocean Road and I did the 6K, and we were down in Apollo Bay. So that was my last sort of session. And then I just started feeling pretty terrible, just really sore glands, and I couldn't even make it through half the day. I was falling asleep at lunchtime. So I was pretty stressed. And I actually think what happened last week was I've always really suffered from a lot of anxiety, like through performance and sport anxiety. And I'm sure that I probably relate to a lot of people who's listening, but it just shows up in like ways where I'm being very indecisive, I think. So I think I was actually extremely nervous, and I do have someone I talk to, my friend Helene. She's like she helps people with performance, like their mental game, mental toughness. So so I think that was happening. I was choking, I reckon. I think I was extremely nervous. So I think that's why I was sort of like, I just felt really all over the shop and wasn't sure if it was the right decision. But I actually, yeah, so leading in, I was like going to make the decision to just do the half, and I had coordinated to do all the transfers to get like, you know, all the, to get those, to get the entry and everything. But I don't know, I think it was actually the night before I started feeling good, and I was like, I feel like I've always put it off. I've always put the marathon off. There's always been a reason why I didn't start, or like, and I was like, I think I've just got to do it. So I woke up that morning and I still could get my bib, because you said, Paul, that you were getting your bib in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I probably still could just use my QR code and get my bib and actually do the marathon. So the night before, I sort of decided the night before, set up all my drinks and got the race guide and read what I need to do for the drinks. So that was all ready to go. And I woke up in the morning, and my family didn't even know that I was doing the marathon. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do the marathon. And Dad like tried to convince me out of it. He's like, are you sure? I'm like, do not question me. So I think that once I'm actually in a race, I think I'm fine. But I think that I really struggle with the lead-in and anxiety lead-in. I think I always have. I remember my worst ever was before a Zatopek, probably I think it was like 2021. I was like almost felt like I was going to vomit. Just, I've always really struggled with nerves. It's just the anticipation and how it's going to go down. And I've had some shocking races. So I think I'm just like, I'm just worried that things are going to go wrong.
Yeah, can I just chime in there quickly, Brooke, with that anxiety? Yeah. Is that mainly intrinsic, like the pressure you put on yourself, or is there anything external, extrinsic, even the podcast or what people think of you, your family or other runners? Where does that anxiety lie? Do you think more internal or external?
That's a good question. I think it's a little bit of both. Yeah. And I think that I think I've like past experience, I've had some shocking races where I've finished and I've just been so disappointed, I think. Yeah. And I just hate, like, I really didn't like that feeling. And, I don't know. I think I just get nervous. Like, yeah. Just general nerves, really, really just feel like all over the shop. And I think it's like, you know how they say the taper, was probably my biggest taper I've ever had. So it just felt so strange not to have your usual routines of training and feeling strong. And I think that sort of threw my mind. What do they call it? Like taper brain or something?
Yeah. Taper. It's just a very different week or 2 weeks, isn't it, than the usual?
Yeah. It's
the fog.
Yeah. It's such a weird time, but that was really interesting to look back now and go, oh, I think that was why. Like, so that's something I definitely would like to learn, like how to handle better in the future. Just like some mental tools to like work through that. But now when I look back, I'm like, I think that's what's going on. I think I was just a little bit like I was choking a bit. but yeah, I think it is just, yeah, intrinsic and like external. But and I started, I got to the start line and I saw Paul and he was like,
yeah, I was shocked. I was like, whoa, what's happening here?
But I knew once I got in there, I'd be fine. But yeah, that was really good. I like that it started in the dark, and I actually saw the photos yesterday and it looks like we're in a nightclub because everyone's got like fluoro on and everyone's like, yeah. So that's so fun. But yeah, so I just decided I still wasn't feeling 100%, but I was definitely feeling way better than the week leading in. And I thought I'd just go out at sort of like an effort, yeah, that I was would feels like my marathon pace that I've practiced. I think the first K was about, yeah, 4 minute, and then I was sticking around that 4 minute pace. I think I did a few at like 3:53 sort of thing, but I just kept it pretty comfortable. And I sort of felt like up and about, I felt good and strong like the first 10K. There was an awesome pack that was really strong that all gathered at around that 4 minute pace, maybe just a little bit quicker. And that was a really good pack. So there's like all men and they were just humming along. Different people were taking the lead and stuff. Some people were surging a bit. But that pack continued until 10K. So first 10K felt really cruisy. But at about 11K, I could sense that they were just going a little bit too fast, especially when you went up that first ramp, because those ramps can hurt, like they can bite a little bit. They can sort of break things up. But I made a decision to let that pack go because they were just going a bit too fast. But then I heard later on when the race finished that after I dropped off, they all fell apart anyway. So that pack was awesome and they were really humming along, but then they just all fizzed out. One guy apparently pulled out not long after. He just like gassed himself. So yeah, everyone just spread out. And then at that point, that's when the bike came in front of me. So the bike was about 20 meters ahead of me and he had a vest that said first female. And so he had a whistle and I was basically whatever pace I was going, he was sort of just looking behind and making sure, yeah, that he was always in front of me. So that was actually really good because I felt like, I was like, oh, sweet, got my own little bike here. So that was awesome. And probably for 26K, until I'm not sure what K it was when we started to hit more of the half marathoners, but that was just an amazing feeling. It was just those half marathoners could see the person on the bike. And so they could see that I was coming and they were cheering out and saying really nice things. And then going through the music, like that whole first 26K was like amazing. I was just like, this is the best. Like, I love this so much. And yeah, I was like, oh, this is just such a good feeling. And then yeah, going around those bends too, like picking up drinks. When I picked up my second drink, like I said before, I actually forgot. I was just in, I don't know, just thinking about other stuff. Don't know what. I think I was actually trying to watch where I was trying to count how far I was ahead of second female. So what I usually do to do that is I would pick a point and then count the seconds. And I couldn't, I was looking for her, but because I was doing that, I forgot my drink. So I had to go back. I reckon I ran about 10 meters ahead of the thing and then remembered and had to go back, get my drink with the gel and a little pop top. and then that, yeah, obviously that K was a little bit slower. But then, yeah, so then got to about, I reckon about 33K. So I think we're on our last lap and it was starting to hurt from about 28K. It wasn't like breathing or fitness. It was more just like my legs were just heavy. Like it was just, I feel like I could keep, yeah, like it was more just just the weakness in my, sort of like my glutes and my hammies was the hardest thing to get through. Like it just felt like I was sort of like trudging through hell. And I was like, oh no. And this had sort of happened at that session I did, that 37K session, that feeling. And I was like, oh crap. This is exactly what Mona told me about, because Mona was like, the race doesn't start till 28K. So I was just like, oh no. But I was like, I've only got one more lap. I reckon I can hold this lead. Like, cause I couldn't see second girl for ages at the last turnaround. She was fair way back and the girl who actually came first, I actually didn't see her at any point at the turnaround. So I was running pretty comfortably and because I was in a lot of pain, I was like, I'm just going to get home. Like, I'm just going to finish it. I'm pretty sure that I've got a clear lead here. I'll just do what I can to get through, like, with this pain that I'm in. But then at about 33K, that's when they had the little turny out bits, the little half circle, semicircle bits. So the first one on the out, so I'd done seen Dad for the last time on the lap before I'd finished. And at 33K in that semicircle, this girl came out of nowhere, like hadn't seen her before. And she just literally just jogged past me, just breezed on through. And the bike guy got confused. He's like, are you, I think he actually said, are you doing the marathon? And she's like, yeah, I saw her nod. And then they were off and I could not respond because I was in so much pain. But she took the lead about so quickly. So I think she actually went in with a game plan that maybe she was just going to cruise until 30K and then have some kind of plan to really ramp up the pace, because I think I heard that she ran like a 7-minute PB or something. So she obviously was in great shape and knew what she was doing, but I just couldn't respond. So then I was just out there. It was so hard. It was so painful. And by then the half marathoners had started to like dwindle, like they're all sort of finishing. So it was a bit lonely, like doing that last lap. And I probably got to about, 37 or 38K. And it was just such a mental battle. Like there were times where I was like, no, I'm going to stop. I'm going to DNF. I'm like, I can't do this. No way. And then my mind was like, no, you can't. I think I did my slowest K was like, I really slowed down, like 4:30, 4:35, I think was my slowest K. So I did a couple that were like 4:23, 4:20, and then the slowest one was 4:35. But then I sort of got going again just before the second semicircle, where that's sort of like a fast, you can sort of get moving a bit. So I did that, and I think I finished the last couple of K in like 4:17. I was pretty sore and stuffed by that stage, and I could see on my watch that it was pretty out, and I just had this thought to myself, I'm like, nah. I'm just like, nah, it's not happening. I'm not.
You got it. You should put up a poll, Ollie, and just when do you stop your watch? At the finish line or at 42.2?
It was so long that I just thought, nah, I'm not doing it. Doesn't count any more than this. Doesn't count.
On a certified measured course.
And we were way back. So it was like an extra 2 minutes, I think, nearly. Yeah.
That's what I had,
Hang on, sorry. I just...
Yeah, it's Brooke Lees. I remember her calling us, Paul, after we spoke after the race on the Instagram phone call. And she said, I've stopped my watch early there. It was too long.
I know. I think I would have got some. I'd have got sub 2:40 if I stopped my watch at 42.2.
That's fair. You did it. You did the case. You deserve it. So yeah, I did my debut Strava run, Strava marathon, in 2 hours 54, 20 or 30, I think. And then I finished the rest of the run and yeah, across the line in 2 hours, yeah, 56, 20, I think it was. Yeah. And just first time experiencing that feeling of just like crossing the line, finishing that such a huge run, absolutely stuffed. Like had never experienced that before.
At and least like, you were well under three. Like if you'd got like 2:59 on your watch and then like 3:01 officially, that would have been like a little bit more disappointing, but at least you were well under three.
Yeah. But yeah, so glad to finish. And yeah, just I actually felt like I was going to throw up. I don't know if that's happened to you. I felt so nauseous. Like I just felt I was on the ground for ages. Like, and the medical came over, like, "You okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine. I just feel so sick." And it's really cool at the end, like how everyone in the race sort of comes up to you after, like that you sort of saw. Do you know what I mean?
Never
experienced really that before. Like usually in a shorter race, you would shake hands with everyone who finished. But yeah, it was really cool to sort of talk to those boys that were in the pack and then people who were sort of with you for parts of the race. And I feel like it's a thing that you share together, but then you never really see those people again. You know what I mean?
It's a unique experience.
So that was sort of happening as the people were coming through. And I saw my dad and my son, Huddy, but Huddy was too busy on his iPad. So that was an anticlimax. I was just like, funny. Feel like I've gone to war. And then he's just like, yeah, playing some YouTube game. But absolutely crazy. But I would say that's probably one of my favorite running memories ever. Like just how I felt, just so happy and just so relieved. Like, yeah, like you know how they say, like, I dare you to run a marathon and not change your life. Is that what they say?
Yeah.
So true. Like I just was like, yeah, like probably my favorite memory of running ever was that Vic Champs after I found out about my heart and having Huddy, like coming back from that. It's probably my favorite running memory. But this almost topped that. Like I just, yeah, I was just so happy. Such an awesome feeling. Like, yeah. So I'm absolutely hooked now.
Yeah, well, I'd seen Brooke after the run, met for the first time, as I said earlier, that yeah, we're both elated to see each other, hug each other, and then it's like after about a few minutes, we were absolutely spent. I just vomited in the bin about 10 minutes earlier, and Brooke at one point was like, I've just got to, like, excuse me, I've just got to sit down, and she lies down on the ground. All right, leave it to
you're sort of just in this weird delirious, don't you agree? You're in this delirious sort of weird mind place where you're just like, I'm so, so tired, but like, I'm also so, so happy. Like, it's like, I don't know. It's such a weird, weird space. Like you just want to just never run again. And I was actually saying that to myself in the last K. I'm like, Brooke, just if you finish this, you never have to run again. You never have to. Just to get through. But like you just feel like you'll just never do it again, don't you? You're just like, oh, just the pain. But yeah, so cool. Fun.
It's so funny in that regard though, because we all, like, or most people run because they enjoy it, but you can't wait to get to the finish line at the same time. So it's like, and yeah, I've spoken to so many people at the start of events, like maybe the day before, and it's like, oh, I can't wait to finish that, cross that finish line. I'm like, but you want to go and enjoy it at the same time.
Yeah.
And you enjoy it to a certain point, and then you just get to the stage, I just want to get that finish line. I just want this to be over. And then, like you say, you get that elation of finishing and completing what you've just done. Yeah.
And I think it's like that. I said on my Instagram today, like it's that tug of war of like, oh, I really want to stop so bad because it's going to feel awesome if I stop. But then you do want to finish, and you go through so many waves too that I've noticed. Like marathon, like you can go, I remember like even earlier, like around 16K, I was like, I'm going through a bad wave now. And you almost have to just be like, it's okay, it'll pass. And even just, going through that, you just have those moments of doubt so often.
Yeah.
To get to the light, you finish, you're just like, nah, it's just
incredible. I think that's, no matter what distance you go, and I've said this a few times, I've I've been in a position where you can either choose to give up, and then when you do, you're so disappointed the rest of that day, even like a few days afterwards. Or if you push through, then you're so happy that you've done it. And it's that's the fine line. It's mindset. It's a fine line. Like you sometimes get to the end of the race and like, why didn't they just try that a little bit harder? Like it's, particularly the shorter ones. Like I don't often find that in the marathons, but it doesn't really matter what distance. You just have to try and just grind it out and just battle with your mind to say, like, let's just do this because I'm going to feel so good once I get to this finish line. And
And it's temporary.
It's a fine line. It is, yeah. It is.
Yeah, it's always temporary. Like you like within 5 minutes sometimes after race, you've gone home and life carries on and kids want their food and you forget all about it. but I feel like it is always temporary. It's just about pushing through that pain at that time. But I think 100%. I love the marathon because it is that longer event, so you have more of that chance to enjoy it. And the pace is so much different than the 5 and the 10. Like over the last 13 years, I've done so many 5s and 10s. It was so nice. I think the marathons is that pace where you're in control and you're running, you're competing and you're running, but it's more just like pushing through that pain towards the end. And it's really then becomes a battle of who's the strongest, and I like that. Yeah. Whereas I've always sort of just 5 and 10K, just suicide pace, just go crazy and don't blow up and don't die, Whereas so different. Yeah. I can see why people enjoy it now. Cause I always just think, nah, I'll never do marathon, never. But yeah, like I can see now why it's so addictive.
Yeah, well done, Brooke. And you're in the half when we started the podcast series in the half, and then had done the marrow. So it must be a sense of relief and probably a good sign for those who are thinking about it. I'm in that boat too, not having to always think that there's a perfect moment or time to do it. And I guess you can train as much as you like to put yourself in that spot, but why not just get one on the board like Brooke has done? But any last questions for Brooke, Paul?
No, not really, actually. I think she's covered it in great detail. And it's been good to sort of, like Ollie said, right at the start, you were going to do the half. And then obviously you decided a few weeks ago you're going to upgrade. And then we went through that final week of will she, won't she? it was good. It was good to be there. And it feels a bit surreal now that like we've done it, doesn't it? It's like, we've been speaking about it for months and now we've all been there and raced it, but no, that was
it was
good.
So good to meet up at the end.
Yeah.
So nice. It was like, oh, like, it's like this journey.
It was good to see you on the start line as well. It was like, was the first time I met and
Should we talk about like what we thought we would do like again differently, or like I think that I wish that I sort of had a more of a build. I reckon I probably crash trained a bit too much towards the end, and then I reckon that's why I actually got sick. Like that large session was 2 weeks prior, so I think next time what I'm going to do is just do like those harder sessions probably a month earlier and then have a like more of a longer taper, because I feel like you're almost at knife's edge like those couple of weeks before.
You had awesome, your last sort of 5-6 weeks, Brooke, were great. Like the mileage was really high. Just imagine if you hit mileage months before that without being sick, which I know is a perfect world kind of scenario, but just imagine what you could have produced given those circumstances.
Yeah. It's all about consistency really, isn't it?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And I think you've now obviously you've chalked off that first marathon. You'll learn like as you go and you'll, because I don't think there's any such thing as a perfect preparation or a perfect taper.
No.
You'll just learn what works best for you. And that's probably what I can talk a little bit more about my experience this time, because that's the 9th marathon that I've done and it's been a lot different to previous ones. So you'll definitely take that experience, and by the sounds of it, you're already looking at your next one, so which is great to hear. So
yeah, Mona messaged me like straight away as soon as I did the race, and I just started crying as soon as, because I was in that emotional space. And he just said, I think he said, yeah, well done, mate. Good to get one done. Didn't know if you'd make it to the line because I've been sick and that. Yeah. So yeah,
it's
that
great.
Was
it was great when because you shared that message with us, and it's so true what you said. Like, and I've been in that position as well, where you're running your first marathon, and people can tell you like, this is what to expect, this is what to do, this is, but until you've actually done one, like that's when you actually start to learn. You've absolutely no idea what you're going to experience until you actually do one yourself. So
Yeah, that's so true.
now you're a marathoner, and now you know what it's like.
So painful.
And very quickly, Brooke, events coming up for you. What have you're talking about Bridge to Brisbane coming back this direction up north?
Yes, I'm really keen on that one. I actually went over that bridge today. So right before I was met you guys, I went up this bridge, got like going to Coolangatta, towards Coolangatta, I think. Yeah. And I said to myself, I reckon this is the bridge. So it's a sign. Yeah, I've got that just put good timing with my program. So I was like, yeah, I might come up and do that one. Why not? You guys said it was fun.
Yeah, it's a good event. Yeah.
A great event. Great event. All right, Paul, you're ready to go. Ninth marathon, was it? That's a fair whack of marathons. How was your experience? Obviously, you mentioned before, third fastest, wasn't it? This marathon,
Third fastest, yeah.
2:41. But how did Bo from start to finish and your lead up in those days before?
Yeah, so like I mentioned there, it was a little bit different this time around. It probably, like, the mileage wasn't as high as it's been previously. Just on the back of doing the ultra early in the year, back in March, and I was kind of sitting around about 100 Ks a week, which is a lot less than what I've done previous. I've been hitting 140, 150 Ks a week, so it was actually quite nice this time around. I think it was. I actually felt really relaxed with this prep. I wasn't really getting caught up on what other people thought I could do. Like, I remember when you did the poll a few weeks back, and we lost them again. No.
Nice photo.
I'm here just trying to charge my laptop. You go ahead.
That poll you did a few weeks ago, and I think there was like a lot of people thought that I was going to run a lot quicker than I did, but I knew then that just like everybody thought I was going to run like a PB, run quicker than I've ever done before, and I just knew like that wasn't a possibility, and I knew that I had a race plan that I was going to stick to, and if I stuck to that race plan, there's no way I was going to run a PB. So I was content with that. I was happy. Like, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. In the week leading up, I did a trip to Melbourne, to see the football on Wednesday night. So, took my daughter down there, and we, yeah. It, in hindsight, it probably is not the best prep for doing a when you've got a marathon coming up, but it was such a great experience for us to go and see our team that play in the English Premier League, like coming over to Australia. Couldn't like not take her down to see that. It was the first chance to go and see like our team in person, sort of type of thing together. So go to the MCG. It was fantastic. But the flip side of that is I started to feel a little bit sick on the Friday, and it just it was actually at one point it's on Friday. Almost thought to myself, if somebody was looking for a ticket, I might almost give it away.
No.
It was just getting to that stage. I wasn't invested. I wasn't like I knew I wasn't going to run a PB. And yeah, it was just a case. Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. And then I got up. I obviously prepared still. Had all my drinks ready on Friday. Got up. We actually stayed in Caloundra. So Alice's dad lives in Caloundra, which is about an hour outside of Noosa. So I went up there, stayed up there on the Friday night. Got a pretty good sleep the night before. Don't normally sleep that well the night before a marathon, but again, probably just a little bit more relaxed this time. So I didn't really feel any pressure going into this. No pressure from the outside, no pressure from me. And then woke up Saturday morning. Like I said, an hour's drive in the morning. So I think I left the house about four, just after four. I had a My go-to at the minute, like, I don't know, obviously, if you guys have any like go-to prep in terms of nutrition, but I've started just having Nutella on bagels. Like, that's what so like I made myself that, and I jumped in the car and I was eating that on the way up, just drinking some sports drink as well, so just getting some carbs, easy carbs in before the run, and then got up there, got got set up, got ready to go. And then when I got there, I was like, yeah, I'm glad I've still got this ticket here. You get that race vibe. Got the shoes on, went for a little jog, and then got on the start line. Obviously saw Brooke for the first time. And then saw my business partner at Runco, Andy. He was there. He's obviously the eventual winner of the race as well.
Your twin?
Yeah, my twin. Yeah. Yes, yes.
One of the twins.
A lot of people get us mixed up. But yeah, and then got on the start line and then and got moving. And from quite early on in the race, I think was within like the first 600 meters, I sort of found myself in no man's land. Like I was like there was a group forming right at the very front, and then there was obviously a group just forming just behind me as well. And I kind of had to make a conscious decision right there and then, like if I try and latch onto this group in front of me, like I'm just completely going against my race plan here. I'm gonna die after 5K. It's gonna be like, so I just made that conscious decision right there, drop back, just like let the other guy sort of catch up and run with the pack, and it was the best decision I made for that for the race, because we started to settle into, I think we're running maybe 3:46s, 3:47s, which is like I wanted to get through the first half in about 1:20, which is 3:47s. So I thought, yeah, just comfortably get through this. And yeah, as I started to build through, first lap felt pretty cruisy. Second lap, as I mentioned before, it was a little bit congested, and I felt like I was wasting energy just trying to like get the slower runners to sort of move to the side. And I actually, second and third laps, I picked up the pace a little bit. Not intentionally, I think I was just trying to obviously weave through crowds and started to feel really good. Feel like my nutrition was on point. The first time in a marathon where I've not actually cramped. So I took the learnings from like doing the ultra earlier in the year. The ultra last year, I had bad cramps from 30Ks, and like, yeah, 50Ks of that run was just cramps, struggling to walk, struggling to run, just everything. Whereas this year, I got my nutrition on point and I thought, well, that's worked for doing 80Ks. I kind of just have to follow a similar plan in the lead up to the marathon and on race day as well. And yep, that I was getting my drink bottles every 10Ks or every 10.5Ks. And yeah, I felt like I could really hold pace. I felt like sub 2:40 was possibly on the cards up until the final lap. And I think I started to slow down about 33, 34 Ks. I think my slowest K was a 3:57. And I remember that.
Yeah, thing. So
I debated with myself at the start of the run whether I just leave it on average pace or whether I put the kilometer like auto lap back on. And I decided to put the auto lap back on just so I want to see the splits just to sort of see where I'm at. And when I'm glad I did, because when I seen that 3:57, it was more a case of you're not feeling too bad here. Like you've got more in you, and it was more of a mindset, like, and what we spoke about with you, Brooke, there, it's just like, you know you can do it, and it's like you've either got that another sort of half hour of just pushing through and hurting, or you sort of give up and then you're disappointed by it. So I knew like the legs. In the back of your mind, because I've obviously had previous experience of cramping, there's still that little element of like, oh, when's it going to set in? When's the cramps going to come? But the body was feeling good, and I just thought, no, let's just try and kick on. So I managed to pick it back up to about 3. I think I averaged about 3:50s from there for about the last like 7 or 8 Ks. And yeah, felt quite strong. I actually quite enjoyed the course, because I didn't think too much about the distance. I thought more about counting the laps. So it was like lap one, lap two, lap three, lap four, rather than like, oh, this is at 10K. This is like, so I wasn't even in the back of my mind thinking that like, oh, it's going to get hard from 28Ks or going to get hard from 35Ks. I just thought like, there's one lap done, three to go, two to go, one to go. And I found that was quite good psychologically as well.
Yeah, he's a good one for that.
Yeah.
And just people around you too, finding a target out there to sort of run with.
Yeah. And I do, I just feel like that whole race was probably one of the best races I've ever had. yeah, in terms
racing's
of just
amazing.
The lead up. And I think, again, like what you said to Brooke earlier, you learn. And I think if I'd maybe been gone for a certain time, and if I'd said to myself, right, regardless of how I'm feeling, I'm going to try and go for a PB, I probably would have blown up and run like a 250 or a 255, because I would have gone out on the pace that I wanted to run rather than the pace that I knew I could run. And
Yeah.
that's one of the biggest things you've got to, like, you can't just, it's harder, because obviously the quicker you get and the better times that you're setting, obviously the harder it is to try and break those times. So yeah, I've no doubt that I think I will go quicker than what I've done in terms of PBs in one day, but that'll take time and probably a better training block. I knew where I was
Do
at this
you
time.
feel?
I knew where the plan was, and I stuck to it. So yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like you get wiser and therefore you sort of know where you're at, like you know what effort? Do you sort of, is it like a more intrinsic, like an intuitive thing when you go out there, you're like, all right, this is where I'm at, like this
Yeah,
pace?
absolutely. It's a maturity thing as well with the marathon, because it is such a hard event, and you know, like, you know that you can run quicker, like over those like first 20, 30 Ks, that, like, you know that it's feeling easy, but you also then know that you've experienced it enough that the last 10, 12 Ks is going to be so difficult that you need to leave enough in the tank. So yeah, you've got to have the race plan, and you've got to just basically have the maturity to say, like, I'm going to stick to it. That
Yeah.
you're not in the condition to run a PB, if you like. So yeah.
Yeah.
No, I definitely feel
Speak
like
to
it
you
was.
later. I'll ask you later, though.
Sorry?
I've got another question, but I'll ask you later at the end.
No, go for it. Go for it.
Have
Fire
you ever done
away.
a hilly? Have you ever done a hilly marathon?
I suppose the only one that springs to mind is Queenstown. It's
Oh.
not hilly, but it's got a few like hill sections in it, but
Yeah, because I
I wouldn't
couldn't. The
really
thing I was
say.
thinking about at the end was like, I couldn't imagine how hard it would be that last 8K
Yeah.
and having hills, you'd just be like, get stuffed.
Yeah, I mean, Queenstown's not hilly. It's not flat. It's just, yeah,
Yeah.
it's not hilly at the same time, but yeah, it's got a little
Yeah.
bit like. You'd run a little bit off road at Queenstown as well, and it's a
Oh,
bit
okay.
it's a fantastic marathon if you're ever looking for an overseas one.
Yeah.
It's
It'd be
a
amazing. Okay.
fantastic
Very
option.
scenic by the looks.
Probably the best place I've ever ran as well, just in terms of training runs as well. It was fantastic, the whole
Yeah,
experience of being
that is
there.
good.
But yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
okay,
so
cool.
what best ever run you reckon out of any distance? Would you put it up there as number one or?
The Noosa one?
Yeah, not as in obviously haven't run PB, but the pacing of
Yeah,
it, how
yeah.
you felt. You know, that's a weird question when it's not the fastest run you've done, but
Yeah.
where does it sit?
It would be up there. It would definitely be up there. Because, I mean, yeah, obviously, like, running the PB last year was fantastic. I feel like I still struggled towards the end of that marathon, and I feel like this time around, I was disciplined on what I can do, and I think overall, yeah, there's a lot of pros to think about with the preparation, and I think probably just like the number one being I was quite relaxed going into this. Like there was no, like I said earlier, there was no expectation. It was pretty much like, let's just sign up for a marathon and see what you can do, and I think that helped with my whole mindset. Gone in, it was just like, yeah, I wasn't putting any pressure on myself. Obviously, if I'd run like 3 hours or something like that, I think I would have been disappointed, because I know I'm capable of doing better than that. But to run 2:41, no, yeah, absolutely delighted.
Yes, I
So
should have
good.
run. Runs coming up for you, Paul, in the year. What else is on the radar?
Absolutely nothing right now. Absolutely nothing. I've got Again, so that this was why one of the reasons I chose to do Noosa, because we're going away for a family holiday in a couple of weeks' time. We're heading over to the USA, so that was always in the back of my mind, is like train for this marathon and then have a bit of downtime after it and just go and enjoy enjoy the family holiday. Hopefully get for a few social, sorry, a few runs over in America and just explore, but nothing crazy, just a little jaunt here and there. I might look at Sunny Coast half marathon later in the year.
Yeah, just signed up.
But have you signed up? Have you?
I'm in the half. Redemption.
You're in the half, so I might do Sunny Coast half. But apart from that, yeah, I've not got anything on my radar at the minute. Just a bit downtime now and enjoy myself.
No, that's good, mate. Enjoy that time. Really important, I think, mentally to step away for however long that is. And Brooke asked about that recovery wise, how long you take off after a marathon. What's this next week going to look like for you? Do you keep active in other ways or just have running off for a certain period of time?
I think I always try to get the body moving. I think it's important to just even if it's just an easy walk or and when you feel like you can run again, I think it's fine to go for a jog. So I reckon by Wednesday or Thursday this week, I've got the coaching group again on Thursday morning. So I reckon by then I'll probably have a little jog with them. They'll be running hard intervals and I'll just be jogging around the field with them. But I think it's key is just not to push yourself too hard in those probably first couple of weeks. If you start to feel good, go for an easy jog, but I wouldn't factor in any sessions. So yeah, for me, even because we've got Sandgate Speed Week, that's coming up a week
yes,
on Saturday.
How good.
Are you good for that one, Ollie?
I'll be there. Drop the distance down by 16K, run 5K at Sandgate. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
So it is on my radar as well, but I'm not like we leave on the Monday to go on holiday. So last thing I want to do is like end up with a calf strain or a hamstring strain and then have to get on a plane 2 days later. So I'll play that one by ear. I'll be there, but whether I run it hard or whether I just go and support and watch, we'll see.
I'll see how you go. Speaking of recovery, I'm recovering mentally and physically after my run. I had such a great experience there last year myself. I'd run a PB in the half. What was it? 1:17:23. And like you were talking about, Paul, almost like the perfect race, just the pacing. For me, I started slower than I finished. So negative split run in the sense that my last 5K was my quickest in that run. And then how long's the gap to Gold Coast? 6 weeks from Noosa
six
to Gold Coast or five?
Yeah, I think it's six, yeah.
And then after that, PB'd Gold Coast. And then I had a thought the other day I put through to you guys. I've PB'd every half marathon I've been in for 6 years, and then I didn't PB one on the weekend. And no wonder I feel a little bit down about it. But the main reason for me was some weird stomach issues, and I never have this. I haven't had it since. I had it once in a triathlon years ago when I think I was learning how to be a triathlete when I was coming off after playing rugby for many years, and I just ate too much food and sugar and got to the run leg and just wanted to vomit the whole time and did by the end, which happened to me on the weekend too. I spewed in a bin after I finished. So that's not ideal, is it? Running like that for an entire run. It happened straight from the beginning. A few theories I've had about it. So I had my usual toast in the morning with honey and a banana. And then I had a new gel I've never had before. And yes, that's a bit of a rookie error on the surface, but I've been almost good with any. I've eaten many a food, many a gel, and been fine. And it was probably the most spoken about trustworthy gel, Morton, just the basic Morton gel. And I just don't know if that was why I was sick, but I had a different gel, so potentially it was that. And it lasted.
Was it 160?
It was the generic black one, 160 or 50 or 100, whatever it is.
Just the normal one or the 160? Yeah.
Oh, just the normal one, I think. I might have to check that. But
okay.
Yeah, how they're different.
Because the 160's got 40 grams of carbs, and with your honey and toast, you might have capped out on the, is it 80 grams? Your stomach can't, your actual, like your stomach can't handle a certain amount of glucose per hour.
Yeah, I'll check that. It was a smaller banana and the honey wasn't much honey. So
okay.
I'm not too sure. Potentially you're right. I'm still trying to think of what that is, but it's a different type of texture too. It's like a gluggy density.
Did you take it prior to the run or did you take it during the run?
No, I always take one before the race. So this was like 5 to 10 minutes before the race start, probably 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I take one about 15K. And the problem was I was sick in the guts till about 15K. Then I thought, oh, here's a dilemma. Do I take the other one? And this was a coffee one too, which I've had many a coffee gel and been fine. The caffeine doesn't usually upset my stomach. So I thought, you know what? I'm feeling pretty bad here. I'll just try the gel again. Didn't have much of it, probably half of it. And yeah, that didn't change too much, but I then got a stitch at that point. So an actual muscular stitch where the abs are tightened up. So that was really weird too. I've never had that before. So, but to backtrack a little bit, I went out at 340s and that was the goal, 340s, which gets you about 117 like last year. And again, as I've mentioned about on this podcast, I don't check my pace much. I didn't check it at all until the end. And yeah, it was 340s to 343s for about 12K. And running through, it wasn't a horrendous pain, maybe a 5 or 6 out of 10. If 10's like in the gutter having a spew, 5 or 6 is fairly mild, but enough to feel upset to not be able to. Have you ever had like this issue where you just can't? You can't run fast. You can't move quickly when your guts aren't feeling well.
Yeah, I've had once, Gold Coast Marathon 2022, and I had to stop for a bathroom break.
And I considered this. It's the first time I've wanted to actually stop a race. I thought about stopping the entire way, like probably after maybe 3 or 4K. I just wanted to stop. Yeah. I didn't want to run. It's really weird, and I got really negative about it. But I always hope, and we spoke before about in the marathon, any event, I think hope's important. I think if you can, like I kept hoping, oh, the next K I'll feel better, or in 5K I'll feel better, or at 15K, once I get to 15K, I always finish hard. I'll finish hard like I normally do. But it just, that point never came, unfortunately. So in hindsight, I battled to that point. When I turned around after the, 10 and a half K point, I felt pretty good till there. I was running with Narissa from Burt and also this other lady called Lydia O'Connell, I think her name is. And she was pretty popular out there. Yeah, she was getting...
Yeah.
So we ran till about that point with another guy, and then they just started to creep away. And I knew intrinsically that my pace was dropping off. I didn't need to check it. I knew I was probably below 4 somewhere. I was pretty confident I was below 4-minute pace. Then I dropped till about looking at my pace after the run, about 3:50s. At this point, then actually, funny enough, I run the same pace as Paul for the whole run. I run a half marathon. I run the same slowest K, that 3:57 pace. Towards the end there. And then I got picked up by another lady coming through. She must have been like the fourth place lady towards the end who picked me up to about 3:50 pace. But at this point, I just wanted to see the finish line so badly. And last year, I remember turning around at the 5K point, which you do on your last lap in the half and Mara, and just thinking, I'm so on here. I feel amazing. I'm going to rip this 5K apart. And was with two guys. And yeah, I dropped like a 17:30 something final 5K. And this last 5K on the weekend, probably about, 19 something. An awful experience to feel like that the whole run, but at least there's something there to maybe, I hate excuses, but we like to reflect on factors affect performance, right? And I think that is the key reason why I didn't run well. I honestly don't sit here thinking I'd run a PB. I think it would have not been a PB if I hadn't had that issue, but it certainly played its part, and it's frustrating, isn't it, when you can't control it? But yeah. I made it work today and reminded me of the fact that I told him about that, and he said, well, yeah, at least you got something to blame other than your fitness.
Yeah, it is hard though. I feel like you get post-race blues because you just like, there's such a lead up and anticipation and like, yeah, you're just like, damn it. You're just like, bummer, you know?
Yeah, and I think actually different to you, Brooke, since I've started running properly, like even 5 years ago, really properly, I haven't had that many bad experiences. Like I've had many a positive experience. So maybe that comes with all the hope I have and why maybe this one hits a bit harder, because in any event, it wasn't a big failure, but in terms of what I wanted, it was away from that. But I guess like I've had a few comments about again from people at work and those online who follow and listen to the podcast about just the what it takes to battle and to hold that pace when you're feeling so crook in the guts. So I'm pretty happy about that, but I just don't know where I'm at with the fitness now, and I'll have to look ahead, I guess. I'm in the 10K at Gold Coast and then the half at Sunny Coast now.
I think that's it as well, like you said, like no matter, like obviously you've had the gut issues here, and it is disappointing that sort of first time when you don't hit the PB, because you're trending upwards the whole time, you're getting quicker every time you're going out and you're running these events, and then no matter what it is that stops you from getting that PB for the first time, if you like, you've got to obviously just look at and learn from that experience and say, well, like, what can I do leading into the next one? Like you say, you've got a 10K coming up next and Sunny Coast half, so you probably have to look at the training and say, like, what went well and what didn't go well, and then you take that. And you not only just this, but you said obviously how well you ran last year, like look back on that training experience, like what was the factors that made that such a good race? Like, what was your lead in like? What obviously you mentioned trying a new gel this time, maybe you have to go back and look at the nutrition, what that was last year, and go back to that. So it's all learnings, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Actually, I was sort of sick all day till I couldn't eat properly. So like, and I'm now still, I don't feel sick. It's more so from the stitch, I think, just muscularly sore through the abs.
Yeah.
But I just wondered if there was some, like as a parent, there may, you know, be an underlying virus in there that kicked that off. You don't know. Which is annoying, but a number of things to think about. And you asked about last year, the lead up, it was just consistency. I think that's the most important thing is months after months, if not years, of consistency. And that's very specific.
And you did obviously, like you did suffer a bit this time around, like with illnesses, and you were crook for quite a bit. So you've obviously got to take that on board as well. And there's nothing you can do to control that, unfortunately. So if you get sick, you get sicker. So
yeah, I mentally never felt in it. It was weird. We've done a podcast about it for months, and I got there, and I don't know. They talk about that inverted U theory for arousal, where on the top of the U is the optimal arousal point, where you feel psyched up enough not to feel overwhelmed with anxiety, but at peak performance level mentally. And I just felt like I was just at the bottom of that. Just didn't. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that was a part of it, but once I started, I just didn't find my flow as usual.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you wake up and not feel 100%?
I'm not too sure. I didn't sleep the best, but like Paul, I don't often sleep well before these things. I slept about 4 or 5 hours, but again, that shouldn't affect performance and doesn't affect me usually. So I'm not too sure on that front. It's a real humbling experience, grounding experience rather, when you finish a run and it's not what you'd hope for, and you get to spend such quality time with your family up the beach in free accommodation, courtesy of my father, who bought a unit for us family last year, and just had such a great time after recovering from that race with good quality time with my wife and my kids. Do you guys experience that too, getting away from the race?
Yeah, it was so good. I actually really like that it's a Saturday, because it feels like the Sunday you just can chill out. You're just in like such a good place with such good food. And I did the swim too on the Sunday, and I came 112th.
What's your swimming background? Have you ever swum before? What's the go here?
I did triathlon for a little bit, and I actually really like swimming. Like, I enjoy swimming. But yeah, I came 112th.
You're crazy, hey. I've actually got work people who and haven't spoken about you since we've had the series, and I told them that this afternoon that you did a marathon. Then what, how much longer after that? Pretty much 24 hours, did a swim.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
It's actually really good. But there's a mixed bag of people that do it. I actually lined up with this, I think she would have been a 70-year-old woman, and I went in the yellow cap crew. It was about like middle wave, and we actually finished the same time, me and this 7-year-old woman. And she said her husband, who was also around 70, I reckon, did the marathon too. So yeah, anyway, it was just really cool. I like that.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Happy to get to the questions.
Let's go.
All right. Steve Woolley. Of course, Paul Goulet knows Steve Woolley. He's got his own podcast. He's often in this question bank. He's asked about the course change. So let's go with these questions, even if we've spoken about them, but really quick answers. Happy to go Brooke first, then Paul each time?
Yeah.
Unless obviously they're individual. Course change needed, yes or no, and how, Brooke?
Yes. Half marathon different.
Okay.
I'll say yes. Make the marathon a standalone on the Sunday.
Yep, fair enough. I'm with Paul. I think just change the days and I think we're okay. Not so much the course. Okay, good mate of mine, Tristan Prasser. He's asking what was the most challenging part of your respective runs, Brooke? Starting with you again.
33 to 38K. Yeah. And pre-performance anxiety.
She looks never saying that. How about you, Paul?
I would say the two parts. One that was out with my control was the congestion on the course, particularly the second lap. I just feel like I didn't particularly enjoy having to scream at the top of my lungs to ask runners to move to the left. But yeah, you had no choice. Like, you were trying to pass people. And probably from a personal perspective, was just trying to battle with a mind for that last lap. And like I say, when I said earlier, when that 3:57 came up, it was all about mindset there. And it was like, yeah, you know what, you can do this. Keep going, pick it up. So yeah, that was the two biggest challenges for me.
Good man. Mine was from K1 when I started feeling sick. No, jokes aside, probably at halfway because I'd worked so hard to get through that sick feeling that I was just depleted on that second lap. Truly was. It was not a great experience. Okay, nutrition. What do you guys exactly take? What was the nutrition for you from start to finish?
The race. I did Gatorade for breakfast, banana. Then I had the new Morton 40-gram gels every half an hour. And I used Garmin timer, 30 minutes on the watch. Yeah, that's what I did. And just water.
I started the morning with a Nutella bagel. I had that, like I said, driving up in the car in the morning. So that was probably about 90 minutes to 2 hours before the run. And then I started the race with a gel. So I carried a gel and I had a 250 ml like pop top, and I had Gatorade, and I actually crushed up my salt tablets and put it in the drink. We spoke about that in the training. I wasn't sure like how I was going to go with that. So I did a few training runs with that, and yes, yeah, very salty, but because it's a sports drink and not water, it was quite easy to take. And every time I came back around, I picked up two, for the laps two and three, I picked up two 250 ml bottles. They were Gatorade for the first three bottles that I had, so 750 ml of Gatorade, again with salt tablets in them. And I had one gel per lap. So, and then by the time I got to the final lap, I had it's complicated to sort of like go through this whole thing, but I had six 250 ml. Had six 250 ml bottles. The first three bottles were Gatorade. The second three bottles were, Tailwind Cola Tailwind.
Okay.
So by the final lap, I had a 250 ml bottle of Tailwind, but I also had a Cramp Fix. Don't know if any of you guys have ever used Cramp Fix, but I actually had one of the little bottles. So whenever, again, for me, I don't know whether it was cramps going on, whether it was my mind playing tricks on me, but whenever I felt like I felt like a little muscle spasm, or I felt like it was going to cramp, I just took a little swig of this Cramp Fix, and it's, for anybody that's never tasted it, it's like just salty vinegar. It's like disgusting. And this one was lime flavored, I think. So it's got a little bit of flavor, but it's, yeah, you almost want to cough every time you sort of sip it. But it worked for me. It could have just been a placebo effect, but that was my nutrition. So it got me through.
You go. Sorry.
Like I said earlier, I said it's the first time that I've not cramped in a marathon, so I'll probably do the same thing going forward.
I just can imagine you on the Friday night, Paul, just like test tubes and like.
I've actually got this little funnel where you just like you put it just to the top and you pour. I was pouring it in the spot in the tailwind and then just crushing up. Yeah, honestly, if anybody had saw me, I was like a chemist in a lab. Yeah, you probably thought I was someone out of Breaking Bad or something like that. So yeah,
you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, yeah.
The body's weird like that.
I think it took me about 45 minutes to prep my drink. So,
well, if anyone's actually a chemist, it's me. Worked. I'm a chemistry teacher, but I got
there
it wrong.
You go.
Got it wrong. To
yeah,
learnt before two Morton gels, which potentially didn't work well for me. But I don't think I agree entirely with that. And that's pretty normal for me. One before I start. One when the race gets tough.
They are a bit weird, those ones. They are a bit
different. Yeah.
Yeah.
This one's from that was from Scotty Martin, by the way. This one's for me from Nate Williams, actually. He's asking about these gut issues and how I managed to keep going on, and my response to that is it mattered that much. So I was never going to give up, even though I thought about it. When you train so long for it and you put all that time in, yeah, why are you going to give up? Keep going. All right, last one's from a workmate of mine. He'd love this, getting a shout out. It's his first one, I think. His name's Sam Proctor. He's a recent he's about to do the Gold Coast Marathon, so I wish him the best of luck as he prepares for that. He's asking, from the weekend, you guys have less than me, but what were your greatest mental battles since the run? Like, what have you reflected on so much that you think you wish you would have changed or could potentially change moving forward mentally?
Definitely need to work on like my anxiety before a race. I just, after I finished a race, I was like, well, I really need to work on that. And I think just, yeah, the last 10K, last 8K, just finding a way to keep the legs turning over a bit quicker. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, like looking back on this one now, there's not really anything I would have done differently, like reflecting back. The only thing I would say is go in as relaxed as possible. And that's easier said than done. But go in with a realistic objective, and I think that's what I did, and stick to your race plan. Don't get carried away.
Yeah.
Run within yourself.
Believe what you can do and stick to that. Don't get caught up in the hype of what other people think you can do or what, not even that, but what other, you might even, like, strange as it seems, but you might put expectations on yourself of what other people believe you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But set yourself a realistic goal and stick to that. Yeah, and I think, yeah, I don't really, this time around, I don't really have anything I'll look back on and say, oh, yeah, I wish I didn't get sick, but I can't do anything about that. So that's about all
yeah,
that,
well, the question was mental stuff. For me, actually, I rarely get anxious before these things because it's so intrinsic for me. So I usually stand on start lines with very little anxiety, but more so for the pain, like the anxiety for the pain's coming and how I'm going to respond to that. Maybe that was the problem for me. Maybe I wasn't actually in the zone enough. And I think I can blame or not blame because I love my family, but the trip up to Noosa from Brisbane after a full day's work and biggest working week of the year for me, I reckon. I think I wasn't probably in the zone enough. And then obviously the mental battle of getting through that, given my situation and post knowing that I'd love to run a half marathon tomorrow because I'm so annoyed about it, but I can't. That's stupid. I'll wait a few months to Sunshine Coast. So
you can't do a Strava PB.
What's that?
You can't go do a Strava PB.
Just run around the track. You got a good PB doing that.
Yeah, just jump down on the nudgy track, do a half. At least that'll be definitely correct. Brooke, would you trust a track to get you the right distance? Do the
math. I'm an avid track runner for years. Yeah.
Guys, it's been an awesome experience having you on here. And, yeah, it would have been About 3 months ago, I think. Was it Brooke first I had on for a solo interview and then Paul, or the other way around?
I think it
Other
was the other
way.
way around.
Other
I
way
think I was
around.
on.
Yeah.
It led to us being here. And I think Brooke's dad, I was talking to Brooke's dad on the weekend about how this all started, and just had a mental blank after that experience of mine on the weekend. And it got me thinking that it was literally the fact that we had those discussions individually, and then got thinking about the idea of getting on here together. Which, when you run a podcast for 2 or 3 years on your own, the thought of it being a risk is probably a reasonable thing, but it has never been a risk since I spoke to you guys from the first words in episode one. And maybe we can continue with you in some capacity as you guys work out, well, particularly Paul, what's going on this year for you race wise, and Brooke in the background as I continue to get our guests on here. I've got Ella, what's her name? Ella McCartney. Is that the right pronunciation of her surname? Coming on, I
She
hope, in
was
the next
the
week or so, the winner, the women in the half. So I hope you've enjoyed your experience on here. And I think the biggest thing I was thinking today, Brooke said she has really enjoyed it, but, and you can probably tell me better than I can for you, but just that I felt the ability to have runners be heard, especially when you work in an environment where people might not understand, or a family that doesn't run as much as you. And on here, we understand each other, and the listeners understand us. So I hope you've enjoyed that.
No, I just want to thank you so much, Ollie. Just on the course on the weekend, like my dad said, there were people behind him who knew me. And then I think it was because of the podcast. So thanks so much. I just really appreciate just that. Yeah, it's been so good. It's been amazing. Loved it so much. So thanks heaps.
Yeah, thanks, Ollie. Thank you to both you guys, because it's been great. Just obviously, whenever you get a chance to chat running, it's so good. But I think for me personally, it's been a good accountability. I wasn't totally sold on doing the marathon, but as soon as we started talking about, like, I had the opportunity for an entry, and as soon as the chart came up, like, we're going to maybe do this podcast, it gave me that sort of accountability to say, yeah, you know what. Let's jump in and do this. So that's no, it's been great, guys. Thank you very much.
That's been really good.
Yeah,
So
and
good
then
to get to you both.
yeah, absolutely.
yeah, it
It's
was
good. It's good
fantastic.
to have been chatting, and then yeah, we've all turned up and done the same event. So
Yeah, and yeah, never discredit anything you said through here. Certain things resonate with others better than some people out there. But there's always moments that come up for me and for listeners that, and even, like I've said, people at work. A lady today said, Paul, that she's following you on Instagram, for example, since this started, or maybe she already was, and this has just helped her to get into your running. And then I've had a few questions about Brooke, like, who is this chick? Where's she from? And what's she all about? And they found out a heap from her, obviously, in these 5 episodes. So, yeah, appreciate your time. And yeah, I'm sure we'll keep in touch. I think Sandgate's our next hit off, Paul.
Yeah, I'll probably
Hopefully,
see. I'll see you down
I'm about a
there.
minute behind you. 16 something for me. What are you aiming for there?
I say, I don't know. Honestly, like right now, I won't be running, but we'll see what the next week brings. We'll see what comes. Yeah,
No, I'll take
I'll
it.
see you there. I'll see you there regardless.
Awesome. Take it easy, guys. I think it's really important to have some downtime now. Don't rush back into it and recover. So thank you very much.
I think. Cheers,
See
guys.
ya.
See
Cheers,
ya.
thanks
Guys.
again.
See ya. If you enjoyed listening to this episode or the Local Legend In Running podcast in general, please jump on Spotify, give it a rating. I'd much appreciate it. Thank you.